This is a replay of the Wednesday night, March 5th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. I'm sure if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. We've got Sally, we've got Ruth, we've got Cindy, and hopefully we've got you as well. But before we get to it, rarely do I have a follow-up on News of the Weird. You know, we hear these stories and then we never know what happens. Well, in this case, and don't tell me I've lost it already, but yes, I had found out. And what it was, if you'll remember on this particular episode, it was in Munich, Germany, where an old cemetery, suddenly all the gravestones had QR codes. Even the ones where the headstone wasn't already erected, where they just had a cross waiting for the headstone, QR codes. And we were thinking all sorts of things, don't you know? Well, it turns out we do know. And apparently, a local business in Munich had been contracted to clean and maintain the graves, and workers used the stickers to help them keep track of which graves they had worked on and which had still need to be worked on. And the owner said, "We're a large company. Everything has to happen in an orderly manner." How German of them. Yes, that's the deal. Turns out that it wasn't quite as enticing as we might like. My favorite story from the U.S. for News of the Weird today, and we've got plenty of those, but I'll get to your calls in a moment, but I wanted to tell you about Nontra Null. Nontra Null is a 41-year-old woman in Burbank, California. That is her given name. Well, she can't get anything. She can't turn in her tax form. She can't go ahead and apply for a passport. In fact, in some cases, she can't even register for hotel rooms. Now, here's the problem. Null, N-U-L-L, her given last name, is often found in computer programs to mean basically nothing, that there's nothing there, that it's a null field. And so when she enters her last name as Null, they don't process it. Well, it turns out that she isn't the only one with this problem because she isn't the only person named Null. And so a lot of the newer programs and you know, the ones that are updated and all that have fixed this. But for anything that is using an old software program, the bottom line is you're not going to get anything when your last name is Null. Now, of course, if your last name is Null and you happen to have a vanity plate in the state of California, like Joseph, Joseph has his plate says Null. He's getting random tickets from all over the United States. So there you have it on Null. And we'll have plenty more. But right now, we've got Sally in Peoria, who is opening the show tonight. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, hello, Raleigh. Good to be talking to you.
Glad you called.
I have a question about old-time radio. Mm-hmm. I'm not a collector, but I have a lot of friends who are. Mm-hmm. And there's one program that I could never find. and it's called City Hospital. I believe it was out in the early 50s. Mm-hmm. It was, I don't know what network, but it was on Saturday mornings, mm-hmm. City Hospital.
Yep.
Do you know about that one? Or?
Yep. Radio and television, actually. Different shows, obviously, but yes, early 50s. Now, the only thing I've seen online about this is that in 1959, three episodes were broadcast. Now, what I don't know, because I've never downloaded them and played them, but they're available to do that. You can download the whole episodes at radioechoes.com. And if you go to any search engine, you can just put City Hospital radio drama, and it'll come up, Radio Echoes. And so you can hear Breakdown or Throat Operation or Woman in Her 70s. And as I say, the only problem with this is their original broadcast dates were 1959. So this is about 7 years after the radio series you're talking about, and I don't know whether the same ones would be there. Now, interestingly, the little TV ones you can probably see on YouTube.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even know it was on TV.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, City Hospital. Melvin Ruick was Dr. Barton Crane. So, and Ann Burr was in there, and it's interesting, as Dr. Kate Morrow. So, yeah, it's around, and but the radio programming, what I have seen from the Library of Congress, you're not the first person who asked me about this show, obviously, that's why I know. I have seen the Library of Congress has some of the scripts. They've got Doorway to Life, that script, and that would have been from, like, 52.
Okay, good. Good news. I'll pass that on to my friends.
Absolutely. And, you know, if they go ahead and just do a search for City Hospital radio drama, they're going to come up with a lot of things. But the TV show from 51 to 53 was first on ABC, and then it was on CBS. And it was, I think the ABC version was alternate Saturdays, and the CBS version was Tuesday nights, alternating with another show, some crime show. And so that was the deal. So, yeah, absolutely, you should be able to find this.
Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. And if you've ever seen Melvin Ruick, I mean, he plays Dr. Barton Crane, but he looks sinister. You know, well, I guess that's terrible to say, but I always thought the stills, anyway, looked pretty pretty sinister there in City Hospital. Yeah, all right. So, spellbinding, don't you know? And you're probably wondering, what the hell was it about? Well, it was about the doctors, obviously, their professional lives, their personal lives. And Melvin, as Crane, was the medical director, and so usually he was advising doctors. And now the interesting thing, of course, we're talking 1952, so Ann Burr playing the role of the doctor, she's female, and you weren't seeing as many female doctors on medical shows, certainly, at all. Oh, the announcer, by the way, John Cannon. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. All right, Cindy is in Chicago. What's up, Cindy?
Yeah, I have sad news. Yeah, yesterday, Snowy, my cat, was put to sleep.
Oh, how old was Snowy?
Just, I don't want to talk about it too much. Right. But anyhow, he was 15, and kidneys failed.
It was time, and you did the right thing. So no, we don't have to talk about it. But it is a sad moment, and I can absolutely understand that.
Yeah, but anyhow, he was such a good cat, and just, you know, I don't want to talk about how he was put to, you know. But
No, you don't bother to go through any of this. I think what you said, you don't want to talk about it, don't. And we grieve with you, and we will do that in silence.
But then what happened Sunday, I don't know what happened. I made some cream of chicken rice vegetable soup.
All right.
So I was trying to take mind off my cat.
Let me ask you something. You say you made. Do you mean you opened up a can and warmed it?
No, I made it homemade.
Oh, from scratch. All right.
Yeah,
good for you.
So I made that with white chicken, cut up chicken breast and everything. And uh-huh. The cat was with me, and I was eating. I was propped up on my pillows in my bed, and I was eating the soup, and then I was just getting really tired. I don't know what I was watching on TV. I don't know. The news or something, WGN News. And I was like, put the soup bowl down on the dresser. And I was like, well, I'll, you know, brush my teeth and put my jammies on. And I got up, and all of a sudden I was so dizzy, like, you know, dizzy. Mm-hmm. And I tried to hang on to the bed, mm-hmm. and I rolled onto the floor. I never really lost consciousness. I mm-hmm. rolled on the floor, mm-hmm. and I called Mike, and he's like, what? And I'm like, Mike, this happened to me. And he, you know, I'm like, well, can you bring me a cold cloth? I don't know if it was the hot, you know, I was so hot from the soup, it was really hot. Because it just gotten done.
All right.
And so Mike gave me a cold cloth because I was so hot and I couldn't get up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yet, you know, I was like, and then ice water, and then I got up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't call the ER because I don't have high blood pressure.
Okay, so what's the upshot? Let's not get every little detail. Let's get to the upshot. What's the final verdict on this?
Well, okay, I didn't go to the ER.
Yes, I understand.
But anyhow. So I looked at my lorazepam anxiety medicine, which I had taken about 40 minutes.
All right.
Before.
No details. You know, we have to teach you brevity, Cindy. And overall, we'll do this one of these days. But so, okay.
Okay, well, it says dizziness on it. So I called the psychiatrist Monday, and he said yes, and that's the diagnosis, and he's going to change my medicine.
Good, good. Yeah, so it was just a reaction, and that's over. And okay, good.
But the thing about it is, I was just taught, you know, that doctors, you know, I don't want to insult anybody or just make you upset.
No preface. Just get to the point.
Doctors, I mean, I don't know how to say it. I'm not a very demonstrative. They're just dumb.
Cindy, all pharmaceuticals have the potential for adverse reactions. And you can look up any one of them, and it's going to have a list of the most common, and then it's going to have the least common, and then it's going to have a list, call your doctor now, all right? What nobody knows is your biology versus my biology or the next person. So absolutely you may react to some drugs. I mean,
I know, but my point is, if I would have gone to the ER, it would have been $7,000 to $10,000 for the ambulance.
Yeah, but there was no reason to go to the ER.
Right. I mean, you know, like, you know, I called my regular doctor,
yes.
you know, and she's like, go to the ER, and I'm like, no,
all right.
no, they would
well,
have
all right.
the
now, so hang on,
and,
hang on.
They would have found
hang
nothing.
Hang on. Doctors, and I don't blame them, very often engage in legal medicine. If a patient calls and says, I'm really dizzy, yeah, they're going to tell you to go to the emergency room because they don't want a problem if you should have. So it's up to your common sense. Because if they said, don't go to the emergency room and you died, well, next thing you know, there's a malpractice suit. So they're going to practice legal medicine to a degree.
Yeah, I guess so.
But you're fine. And so you don't need to think about it anymore. And when you try the next one, whatever they're going to prescribe, before you do, take a look at what all the possible side effects are and the contraindications, too. Make sure you're not taking it with something else.
Yeah,
it's all listed.
My doctor's going to call me tomorrow morning. At the psychiatrist is going to call me Thursday sometime in the morning.
All right.
So.
Well, very good. All right. And as usual, stop thinking, Cindy. We need to get you into Thinkers Anonymous. All right. Good luck. And I'm very sorry about the cat.
But then, you know, I just want to tell you, like I said, if I had to put my cat away.
Well, you did.
You know, I would, you know, after the procedure was over, I just went to the shelter and I'm getting the new cat.
Oh, God.
On Sunday. The thing about it is, I'm just, you know, I have bipolar disorder. I know myself. I'm just going to cry myself sick if I don't have something to play, you know, some cat to play with.
Well, there you are.
And take my mind off. No,
you will save the life of a worthy cat, I'm sure. So good luck.
And I prayed about it, and I felt like God was saying,
All right.
Another cat can't wait. He needs a home. It's a female cat, and her name is Greta.
All right, Cindy. Keep us posted. Good luck.
All right. Bye.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. 888-876-5593. We'll get to Pat in Riverside, Ruth and Gurney, and you two coming up on W. Oh, before I say that, I know, and Adam's saying, I'm just about to go to a break. I meant to tell you that the guy who was in the radio show of City Hospital was not the same guy who was in the TV show. The guy who played the doctor, Dr. Crane, in the radio show was Santos Ortega. So, all right, rest in peace, Santos. Now, WGN Radio. James, sadly, you're hearing a lot about Roy Ayers passing, and you're hearing a lot of music in the background, and you're sure not hearing that, but that is Roy Ayers. 1968 on Atlantic. The album is Stone Cold Picnic. That's Grady Tate on drums, by the way. Herbie Mann produced it, did the liner notes as well, and Herbie Hancock on piano, among other notables. So I won't play the whole thing. It's an 8.5-minute cut, but it's very nice, actually. And so I figured we'd do something a little different for Roy. Roy, it was not a sudden death, to say the least. And if you don't know, you might know him later from the 80s from a ton of hits. We'll play one of them, too. I think Hot is my favorite from that period. But he was slated to play in Portland in 2019 at the sold-out music festival, and at the last moment had to cancel due to a medical emergency. And I think it was Questlove who had reported that, and his daughter took him home and all that. And then he was back on the road again in 2023. He was doing a European tour, and it was like the second to last gig was in Athens, Greece. And sure enough, he had to pull out. He had to cancel, and that was it. And claimed it was complications of COVID-19. I don't know, but really, certainly since 2019, he had not been in great health. But sadly, succumbed yesterday, 84 years old, in New York City. From Los Angeles, from South Central, and did a lot of jazz work before he got into the 80s disco stuff. But rest in peace to Roy Ayers. I'm sure I didn't do him justice just now, but you might not have known about his history with Atlantic. So now you do. All right, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And right after the news, we're going to talk to Pat in Riverside and Ruth and Gurney on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Ronald James. Well, Different Side of Roy airs, to be sure. Hot. That's my fave from that period. 1986 got to number 20 on the R&B charts. And actually, almost his biggest record, Running Away, in 1977, got to number 19, and that's when he was in ubiquity. And yeah, but I thought Hot was just terrific. Okay, maybe not as good as Wave, but yeah, we'll hear a little Stone Soul Picnic, too, before it's over. And rest in peace, Roy Ayers. As I say, been sick for the last, well, more than 5 years, so it is a relief for him. But a loss for the rest of us. Pat in Riverside, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, how are you?
All right, how about yourself, Pat?
I'm good. You know what? I'm not in Riverside. It doesn't matter. It's Harwood Heights.
Oh, well, John moved you, I guess. I hope you enjoyed the move. Hope the furniture arrived safely.
Yeah. If I could afford, maybe.
All right.
No, it's all. It's just funny. The only reason I mention that, we've talked a few times.
Yeah.
And you know, people call in and they say, well, you know, I'm an 18th time caller or whatever. Yeah. You don't keep track of that.
No.
It don't matter.
I don't keep track of it. You're right.
No, it don't matter. But I would like to make a personal comment or two, if you don't mind, and then ask you something interesting.
Ooh, all right. True confession times. Personal comments from Pat. Go for it.
There you go. A polite gentleman does not ask a woman how old she is.
Okay.
But, you know, with your musical knowledge and your years in radio,
yeah.
I'll be 61 in May.
Uh-huh.
Doo-wop, I have no history or knowledge of. But, man, 70s rock and roll in Motown, oh, my God. Motown, I love.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating sometimes. You know, you can talk about quite a long history of musical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the other personal comment I wanted to make, you are so empathetic. When people just want to, you know, be listened to, I think that you're a wonderful person.
Well, that's very nice of you to say thank you.
Well,
as far as my age, the internet says I'm 73 years old, and I'll take it.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, it sounds good to me. That's official now, because the internet says it is.
Well, you know what? You're too young to know the history going back in musically, yeah. Even into the 40s. The 40s and 50s, but you know, yeah, well, what did you go on radio when you were in middle school?
No, I obviously I was female, so we didn't get to go on the radio as far as on formulaic top 40 radio early on. My first on air job, and I can tell you the first sentence I ever uttered on the radio was 1967. And the first sentence I ever uttered was, "Sue, I don't know what to do. Timmy's wet the bed again." It was a commercial for the Stay Dry and Uretic service.
Oh, God. I was born in 64.
Okay.
I was 3 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I did all the production director things behind the scenes, but my big debut was the Stay Dry and Uretic service.
Oh, that's funny.
So what else you want
to know? Well, no, you can talk about just about anything, whether it's, J.B. Cooper?
Oh, D.B. Cooper? Oh, absolutely. That's a mystery. It'll never be solved, but I love it.
Well, you, like, know the whole history.
Well, yeah, of course. Of course. That was a Northwest Orient Flight 305. A 727, which back then you actually could descend down the tail steps. They changed that after that.
That's the kind of stuff that you can just spit out.
Well, I mean, everybody knows about... yeah, actually, it wasn't D.B. Cooper. The ticket said it was Dan Cooper, but a journalist screwed it up and wrote D.B. Cooper, so that's what we call him. But, of course, his name clearly wasn't Dan Cooper. And, you know, of course, that was 1971. And when you're going back 53 years, November 24th, 1971, around Thanksgiving, bottom line is, if he was alive after it, he's probably not alive now.
Well, and at the time, too. You know, jumping out of a plane in a thunderstorm.
Well, yeah, but I mean that, you know, they used pretty low flying, deployed that staircase, parachuted right into southwestern Washington right there. Yeah, so we don't know. And by the Columbia River, and as you know, some of the money's been found. And you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But they have a convention for this every year. I've never gone. I've always wanted to, but they do.
really?
Oh, absolutely. Once a year, they get together and you know, compare notes. And there's been, you know, the last one in 2024, I think the topic was new particle discoveries or something. You know, they all have all sorts of things about that. They call it CooperCon, you know, kind of like Comic-Con, mm-hmm. but it's CooperCon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's very big.
I have two sons in their 20s. One of them went out to L.A. for one of those.
Oh, the place to go is San Diego. That's the motherlode of Comic-Cons. But yeah, we go to several of those every year because John collects.
Oh, what does John collect?
Comics,
Golden
Age stuff and everything else.
Because, you know, people collect all kinds of things.
Oh, don't I know it? Yes. I'm talking about that on News of the Weird the other day. Someone collects bricks and someone else collects sticks, so why not comics?
Yeah. No, comics actually makes more sense to me than some of the other things.
Mm-hmm.
The figurines, you know, if you have old figurines from Star Trek.
Oh, of course. Oh, no, those are seriously collectible on some of them. I mean, some of them are garbage, but, you know, I mean, anything can be collectible. When I was a kid, I had a good friend who, and he was in high school. I don't know why he had this predilection, but he collected Depression glass. And I can tell you about Depression glass throughout the Southeast United States and the odd colors and the odd items, but everybody collects something.
Well, you know, some of those things are worth a lot of money, but what was that thing back in the 80s? The little stuffed animal things that people...
Oh, right. I remember when I was in Canada, a friend of mine made me get the Canadian one for them. Yes, I'm trying to think of what they are now. They're still around.
People saved hundreds of them, and 10 years, they were worth nothing.
Well, right. Well, I think there, again, the trick to collectibles, and I don't care if it's a stamp or it's a record or whatever it is how many were produced originally, because rarity is what gives you the money. And that's why when people say, well, I have a lot of record albums, I got the Beatles, I got Elvis, like, who cares? You know, you want the Four Sharps doing Stormy Weather. You don't want, you know, the Beatles, because if there's only three known copies of something, that may be worth something.
You're right. Like a dollar bill that was misprinted.
Oh, yeah, right. And coins, you betcha. If you got one of those coins that was came out wrong from the mint and they only have 27 known, oh, you're in clover.
So can I throw something out you just to see if you can talk about it? Because I bet you can.
Sure. I think they were Beanie Babies, those stupid things. Beanie Babies.
Yes. Yeah. And People went nuts.
Oh, and like I say, a friend of mine called me because they knew I was sitting in Winnipeg at that time, saying, I have to have the Canadian Beanie Baby. All right, then. So now, your other question.
This is just to throw something at you because I'm sure that you could talk about it because you could talk about just about anything. Your memory is very good. Yeah, growing up, I was watching MASH.
Uh-huh.
And I was watching All in the Family with my parents every Sunday night.
Well, no, I thought All in the Family. Wait a minute. All in the Family? Okay, right. Okay, sure. I got you. Okay.
You know what? Carol O'Connor?
Yes. It came out like in 70 or 71. I know because I remember being somewhere publicly when it came out, and the people who watched this, their jaws dropped. They couldn't believe what they were hearing on television.
And they really believed that he was a racist jerk.
Oh, Carol O'Connor? No, actually, he was a diehard liberal.
Oh, I know he was. But people thought, and people used to, you know, accost him on the street.
No, he's about as...
They didn't understand that he was just playing that character.
Well, of course. And many other characters as well. Yeah. Okay.
Anything else about anything? Any thoughts or comments about MASH? I really enjoyed that show.
Yeah, tremendously successful. I mean, that's exactly what you want. And you know, movie spinoff, and very often movie spinoffs aren't tremendously successful, but this sure was. You know, so
I think they were one of the longest lasting TV shows on weekly TV shows on.
I don't know if that's. I think they were on from the September. Everything was always September back then, like 72. And I think they actually went off the air mid-season, like February of 83. I'm pretty sure. So, you know, that's 11 years or 10 and a half. Yeah, 10 and a half. That's a nice run. I don't think it's the longest, but it's a nice run.
You just said September.
Yeah. They all started. Remember, back then it used to be the television shows pretty much went from September to May. There was time off during the Christmas thing and all that, but then they'd have the summer replacement shows. Oh, God help us. And all that. So that was kind of a formula that the big three alphabet soup networks followed.
And that's kind of where I was going. It used to be September started the season. And they had X number of, you know, shows per season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, and my wife gets irritated with me because I won't watch certain things with her. You know, some of the newer shows in the last 5 years or so, they want you to wait a year to see the next season.
Well, and some of them will drop like 12 episodes for the year all at once. I mean, there's so many different things involved now, and of course the competitive landscape is totally different. So anything you were seeing in 1971 really doesn't compute to what the way it works now, to say the least. I was trying to think of who was the longest prime time, and I don't know. I know if you start talking about longest running shows daytime, it's going to be things like The Guiding Light, you know, the soap operas. But I don't know what was. But I think all of the Law and Order series probably are much longer than MASH was.
Going.
Yeah. Right. I think that's probably the case. Anyway, I will talk to you soon.
No, it was. I enjoyed talking. Thank you very much.
All right. Call me again. Appreciate it. Okay. Bye. All right. Bye. So, with that in mind, I know we've got to do this on WGN Radio. James and Moy Roar Ayres. Yeah, more on that 1968 Atlantic album. Yeah, Stone Soul Pickup. Good stuff. All right, rest in peace, Roy. All right, so Ruth is in Gurnee, and she got a letter. All right, so my baby just wrote me a letter. All right, Ruth, let me hear all about it.
Gurnee, Denise.
Yes.
G. Louise. The knees, bees, whatever they are, don't you just love that phrase? Thank you, Rally.
All right.
Geez Louise. Or should we say geez Louise?
Yeah.
If I drop off my paralyzed arm, the phone fell away from it. Okay. I'm going to try to remember what I called for.
A letter. It was a letter.
I don't.
And by the way, I've got 3 minutes and then I've got the news. So if you don't remember, you'll remember during the news. But all right, try to tell me.
Okay. I received a letter about a year ago. And so I didn't call up to ask you for a couple of reasons. One, I didn't want to pursue it at that point, and now it's come to push comes to shove. So it was from probably the Department of Human and Family Services, and it offered a voucher, and it wasn't a scam, it was legit. It offered a voucher to substitute for caregiver. You funded money that goes through an agency, and you were placed because you were disability accessible, and I could become the recipient individually and hired the person myself. Well, I felt I was limited to find the people, but I wanted the ability at some point to say, I will pay more. I'll pay $37 an hour to get a caregiver, and they'll stand in line, and I won't have problems at all. So what I want to find out is this agency, does anybody know about this? Raleigh knows. Jeez Louise, Raleigh
what,
knows.
What's the agency?
That's just it. It's been over a year, and I don't know where I've put the letter.
Oh, you got to find the letter. You have to find the letter.
No, Department of Human and Family Services, but someone else out there might know also, so that's why I'm asking you. It could be Team Raleigh. Now, next quick question is, that fast it's slipping away from me when I keep thinking about this one. I had received a statement from Medicare and a telephone call that I was no longer to be eligible for incontinence diapers unless I had a doctor's permission. And they did that within a week and a half's notice. And I go, wait a minute, I can go to a store or someone else can for me and purchase this without a physician's prescription.
Right.
You want me to go see a doctor. So I haven't seen one for 3 years, and I don't want to. And so an apple away keeps the doctor away. But the point is this. A physician gets an education in this country, the most expensive, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they write prescriptions.
All right, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are, and we'll talk about it after the news. Meanwhile, I'll try to find this program. Good luck to me on that. And we'll find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio. James. Those are the Corsairs from LaGrange, North Carolina. There were three Uzel brothers and their cousin, and it was Abner Spector who discovered them. Of course, he had Tough, among other labels, and to get distributed, he made deals with Chess, and so Chess had pressed and released Smoky Places, which was kind of a medley of their hit, though they put out about 8 records, some on the Chess imprint, some on Tough. But that was a request, and that was Jack in St. Charles who wanted to hear Smoky Places. All right, so we're back to Ruth here. Are you still with me, Ruth?
Bernice,
yes. Yeah. All right. So now
I'd rather have a prescription for your music
now
instead of the paper towel. So the inconsistency.
All right.
But
so
I want to hear what you have to say.
I will tell you that the organization you need is the Illinois Department on Aging, because if you're over 60, the other division will not help you. So it's the Illinois Department on Aging, and they have them in every county, and you're in Lake County, of course. There's a program, the Community Care Program, the CCP, and underneath that they have a CCU, a Care Coordination Unit, and in Lake County that phone number is 847-546-5733.
And okay, now 546, that's around late digit thing, so I can remember the 5733
easy.
Yeah,
right. So now they have a number of services including home services, And so what will happen is the CCU will probably be able to, kind of go through, do you qualify and all those things. And then if
I think this is sounding like Round Lake, shame on them. What with charities?
I can't. No, I mean, the providers are a list that, you know, is larger than the state of Illinois. I mean, it's a big list of providers. But if you qualify, they do everything from, you know, cleaning and planning and preparing meals and laundry and errands to also other personal care tasks and all that.
I qualify for 5 hours, and I got a big story about that coming up in the future.
It's
taken me 6 months on the diapers prescription, and then about a year on the voucher prescription. You see, I think I can handle my life better than these other people can, because they don't pay my bills. You know, I mean, I got a whole history of 1 year to live in 1995.
You're right.
A doctor, get out of my room, I don't believe you, and I'm still alive and my liver healed. So I can do a better job than they can do, and I can save the
taxpayers. All right, so then what do you want them to do?
Well, I want to find out who the voucher is and who's providing it. Department of Aging?
Yes.
That's a possibility. You could be very accurate on this one. So, you know, I'm going to tell you this. Maybe 10 years ago, I went on my own, not the disability bus, but on my own to the hospital, and he said, you have pneumonia. And I said, okay, he gave me a prescription, and I did fill it, because I probably haven't had any valid prescriptions in 10 years. And I said, how much is this going to cost the taxpayers? He said, $400. I said, if I would have known, I wouldn't have came. So I'm all about saving the taxpayers money, taking control of my own life in my own way, and paying, giving me the voucher money means I now am in a position to find somebody and hire them and pay them additional, because we are not allowed to tip the people,
right, okay,
the caregivers.
All right, so you got this down. You got this down. You don't need me for any of that. All right, now you want to know about the diapers. And are you on Medicaid?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, then I would assume that you qualify for free incontinence supply. Now, is Medicaid telling you that you might that you must have a doctor's prescription? Where are you getting that information?
I got that from the first company that I had for several years called Airflow.
All right. Well,
they told me that I need to go see a physician. I said, I haven't been to one in
3 years. Understand. Now, the other thing is, this is something the care coordinators usually take care of in terms of negotiating and all that. So I would definitely get in touch with the care coordinator to find out.
Okay. I brought this up just because of the Raleigh Archives of Genius. I solutioned it myself a year ago, and I found an answer, and that was getting a physician's office, whom I never saw him, only the nurse practitioner, and they called it in to me to another company. So I preferred the first one I had, the Airflow, but I got this one as the substitute. But I just thought I would bring this to the attention of the hard-earned American dollar.
All right.
A prescription for paper towels? Come on now.
Yeah, I understand. Believe me, I understand. I mean, at this point, all that matters, as far as I'm concerned, is that you get what you need. And so,
I did it on my own.
All right.
But there's things out there, you know, with my circumstances the way they are, where I have to find all these things to change the course. Okay, I'm going to do a prescription now with you. How can I get some Pete Fountain?
Some what?
Pete Fountain.
Oh, Pete Fountain? Okay, I'll try to find some. I'll look. If I got anything on this computer, you'll hear it tonight. Otherwise, you'll probably hear it tomorrow night.
All right,
good deal. Thanks. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know if there is anything on this or not, but certainly I've got enough of that. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Changing the subject entirely, well, I think anyway, is Don in Beloit. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
So
hey, Roy Ayers. That was really great. That's so cool hearing that. I'm sad to hear his news that he passed away, but he left such a mark.
Oh, absolutely. But I understand we're going to talk about really aging Neanderthals, are we?
Well, we could. I like you know, looking at this once in a while, and I didn't realize it was maybe you and Johnny as well. There was some big announcement mid-December, and it made it to these authors made it to Nature and Science mm-hmm. journals yes. mid-December. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's
so what are they saying? It's the latest and greatest Neanderthal news, you know?
The inner ear bones. And I was a little concerned because I have had a clogged ear for some time. And when I heard it might have wiped out the Neanderthals, I thought, oh, no, I'll be next. All right. But it's a significant decline in genetic diversity. And we're talking 110,000 years ago. And so they have theoretically identified and discovered that the structure of the inner ear bone suggests that there's a population bottleneck drastically reducing their numbers. Now, exactly how that go from A to B on that, I don't know. But they're saying it could be climate shifts, disease, external threats, and other things, not too numerous to be mentioned, that limit genetic variation. Well, all right. Declining diversity.
Well, I was talking about this group from this guy, Benjamin Peter, University of Rochester, and he's also with the Max Planck Institute of Evolutionary Anthropology, and this other guy from Berkeley. And their stuff is more on when did Neanderthals and humans interact?
Right,
and
exactly.
And they're sort of narrowing this down.
To,
well, yeah, 47,000.
About 50,000 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If only there was Netflix, you know, to like have some kind of, you know, Romeo and Juliet documentary of some Neanderthal dude chasing his human girlfriend.
Well, they don't know about the guy and his girlfriend, but they do think there was a single major period of gene flow that lasted 7,000
yes.
years from 43,000
yes.
to 50,000 just mere decades ago. They also found that natural selection influenced which Neanderthal genes were passed on.
Yes, and this ties in really well with that out of Africa theory where everybody is moving out of Africa around this 47,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's why those Asians have so much more Neanderthal in them to this day, perhaps because they were all moving in that direction back then.
Well, they were certainly moving to unfamiliar territory. That's for sure. So, indeed, yes, and 500,000 years ago, Neanderthals and modern humans diverged from a common ancestor. All right. Well, good luck. I'm always fascinated that they come to these conclusions. But But if they say so. So researchers used a genome sequencing act to analyze 300 genomes from ancient and modern humans. So, all right. Well, it's interesting. I think this is one of those things that we can't prove it, but it sounds nice.
Did you, I'm sorry to go back to here, but did you ever like study, like Roy Ayers, I got to give him credit that he really went to Africa to, I mean, he went in depth and toured Nigeria and he did this Africa 1970 thing. Yeah. And then there's the band, the Roy Ayers Ubiquity band that he did.
Ubiquity,
he,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did so many things. I mean, dropping out of college was one of the, maybe the best things he probably did.
It was Lionel Hampton who gave him his first vibraphone mallets. And that was when he was like 5 years old. And, here he was, a denizen of South Central. And, he dropped out of Jefferson High. But, you know, during his high school years, of course, like most people in South Central, he was singing in the church. And he had his own little, secular band. He was actually playing steel guitar. That was the deal. And, that area was vibrant with musicians.
He was just the perfect guy for the right time. And then with Herbie Mann, I mean, that's amazing.
Well, you know, he was 22 when he started recording, and I guess that was West Coast vibes. So he was pretty young, and I think he went to Los Angeles City College for a minute there, and then Herbie Mann. Right. So Ubiquity, of course, that I mentioned and all that. But before Ubiquity, and it's funny, that's why I wanted to play the stuff from the Stone Soul Picnic album. album. That's usually not mentioned, you know. It just kind of skips over and gets to the 70s. And, you know, he did very well. And yeah, he toured Nigeria. That was the latter 70s, I think. And came out on Phonodisc, I think, around 1980. So, and then he started producing studio albums and his own stuff and all that kind of stuff. But like I say, my favorite there was Hot in 1986 on Columbia.
That was really, that first one you played, Waves, that was so good.
Well, that's Antonio Carlos Jobim, of course. You know, I remember the first time I heard it, I thought, "Well, this is pretty disjointed," but it grew on me, and I liked his vibraphone work, and you know, that was great. But you know, he then performed on other records, you know, for other people, including Whitney Houston, I think.
I didn't know that. Wow, well, interesting.
I think
who did it?
Love Will Save the Day. And Jelly Bean Benitez produced that, and I think he's the vibraphone solo on that. And
are you playing him tonight? Are you playing all of his stuff tonight?
No, I played three things. I played Wave Hot and Stone Cell Picnic. But you know, in the 90s, he did a couple studio albums, and you know, went back to a lot of jazz stuff, to say the least, as far as that goes. And I thought he was terrific. I love that he was in a video game. That he's the voice of Fusion FM and Grand Theft Auto 4.
Oh my, that's so funny.
Yeah, so, and
hopefully,
you know,
it paid well.
Well, I'm sure it did. But in any event, like I say, the first I heard that he had problems was in 2019 when he had to quickly drop out of that Portland gig, and Questlove reported that. And then, you know, he came back for that supposed last tour of Europe in 2023, and, you know, right before the Athens gig, had to bow out of that. And I think that was pretty much it. There was a documentary made of him. And I don't know if it's ever been released, but I know that I know that they were working on it for years. So I think it used to be the Roy Ayers Project, and it's something else now. But anyway, I don't know if they've done that. But that's the deal. So yeah, Roy Ayers was great, and I loved Hot, and I loved Wave. So there you have it.
That's great. That's great stuff. You did good.
Good.
All right. Well, it's nice talking to you as usual, you and John. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Talk to you next time. All right. Thanks, Raleigh. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's greater minds than mine that understand how anthropologists make the decisions they do based upon what they're studying, which are fossils, let's face it, and fascinating the conclusions they draw. And maybe it's right. But, you know, the reality is maybe it's totally wrong. What do we know? But it's fascinating to talk about, too. And I love when they get into maybe it was climate change that wiped them out. And I'm like, well, it wasn't because of their catalytic converters. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio.
Things seem to
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, The Channels, All Alone. It was a flip side on Gone. What a wonderful record, 1957. And Marianne in Chicago said, play anything Scotty would like. And I know he liked that. We shared that in common. We both loved All Alone by The Channels. So now you have it. All right, now before we go to the news, I quickly want to find out when Karen's birthday is, because she has a question about it. All right, so Karen, what is the date of the birthday? Are you with me? Oh, have we lost Karen? I think so. All right, well, we'll figure it out. Right now, we'll figure out what's going on with the news on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Pete Fountain. I think I played that once before, but it is my favorite Pete Fountain, so there you have it. And that was Ruth's Request, Pete Fountain. Came out in 64. Actually, it was a second release. The first one came out on RCA, and it was a Glenn Yarbrough record. And they released it again on 65 as the flip side of his big hit, Baby, the Rain Must Fall. But I thought his version was terrific, which is hard to believe, but true.
The honey wind blows, and the warm days dwindle. The butterfly spins a silk cocoon on a silvery spindle. The petals fall from the last red rose, the last red rose, when the honey wind blows. The petals fall and the summer goes. The summer goes when the honey wind blows.
So there you have it. And interestingly, a couple of folk singers wrote it that nobody's heard of. Fred Hellerman and Fran Minkoff. Though Fred Hellerman actually did quite a few things, I think, as Fred Hill, as Bob Hill, as I recall. All right, so there you have The Honey Wind Blows, and Fred was a member of the Weavers. Okay, it doesn't get more folk than that, does it? All right, now, Karen. Karen in Chicago, our birthday girl. Happy birthday, Karen.
Hi. Well, thank you.
Yes, happy, happy. Now, I'll have you know that you were born on Cinco de Marcho, and believe it or not, John left when I said this. This is obviously an invented holiday, but it was invented about 20 years ago at a Mexican restaurant, the Matador, when a guy was enjoying his margarita and noticed the date, March 5th, and he said, well, I'm at a Mexican restaurant, it's a Mexican drink, this must be Cinco de Marcho, and what he decided was that that was the holiday where you start drinking, so you'll be up to speed by the time you get to St. Patrick's Day. And so, yes, that was the deal. And they're saying it's not about excessive drinking; it's just about preparation. Celebrate within your limits. And the guy at a Mexican restaurant. The reason I don't mention anybody by name is that supposedly it was Carlos Fantástico. No. And the reason I say no is it's a riff on Carro Fantástico, which is the Spanish variant for Knight Rider, the 1980s television show. So I don't think that it had anything to do with anybody named Carlos Fantástico, but it was somebody with a good sense of humor anyway. So, yes, it is Cinco de Marcho.
It's too bad I can't drink anymore. Gee whiz.
Well, that's all right.
That wouldn't have been fun.
Well, you're absolutely right. So let's talk about who was born on your birthday. All right.
Okay.
Bobby DeBarge. He would have turned 69 today. Unfortunately, he died of AIDS at 39. Eddie Grant.
Wow.
You got to love Eddie Grant. Electric Avenue. And he's 77 today, born in British Guiana. And he was also a member of the Equals. Baby Come Back. Yeah, right. Tina Marie.
Yeah.
Would have been 69 today. Sadly, she died in 2010 in Pasadena, had seizures. It was supposedly natural. So I think there's more. Tommy Tucker would be 92 today. And you remember Tommy Tucker. He's the guy who did high heel sneakers. And
I remember him.
And sadly, he died very young, 48 or so. He had carbon tetra poisoning and carbon tetrachloride.
Oh,
and in 1982.
God.
Yes, I'm very glad I didn't know about this earlier because, God, we always used it as a cleaner. But anyway, yeah, so carbon tet took him out. And what he was doing was refinishing the hardwood floors of his home.
My parents used to use that stuff, and they wouldn't let us, if they were using it, they wouldn't let us help. So now I know why.
I used it to clean everything. Me and my neighbor Alex. Yes, Alex Friedman. He became head of Lawrence Livermore. So something went right with Alex. But anyway, for the rest of us.
right on.
Other than that, we have one more. We have Andy Gibb.
Okay.
The youngest brother Bee Gees. The youngest Bee Gee, with some individual success. But in addition to that, Elvis Presley was discharged from the Army on your birthday.
Wow.
Barry Sattler went to number one on your birthday with Ballad of the Green Beret. I'm so sorry to hear it.
Oh,
and let's see. In 1969 on your birthday, Cream magazine debuted. But my favorite as far as this date in history has to be 1971, when the FCC warned the owners of progressive rock FM stations not to air One Toke Over the Line, White Rabbit, Puff the Magic Dragon, or Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, or other songs with possible drug references.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
On March 5th. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, we have others. We have a death of ABC Records anyway, 1979. Declining profit goes out of business. 1982, John Belushi died on your birthday.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So, that's Cinco de Marcho. Mm-hmm.
Well, that is really something. I never knew there were that many. For some reason, the only one I ever found out with somebody who I don't even know who she is, named Eva Mendez.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea who she is.
Okay, yeah, Eva Mendez, of course. there are a ton of people. I mean, if we want to talk about people who aren't singers, there are just a ton of them. So, like every day, you know, but Eva Mendez, she's probably about, I don't know, 50 now, 51. And
I don't know who she is.
She's
probably an actress.
Yeah, right. Cuban American. She did a few things, you know, movies like Training Day or whatever. But
I'm like you. I'm not into like TV and movies and stuff, so I don't know who half of these people. You know, when you talk about the Oscars and then all these fancy awards. I don't know who hell I were.
Well, she was, she starred against Will Smith in Hitch, and so that was that was a big movie, and some other things. So yeah, she started out selling hot dogs at the Glendale Galleria, but never mind that. Anyway,
that's cool.
Yeah. So there's a Henry II of England was born on March 5th.
Sure, God.
David II, the last Scottish ruler from the House of Bruce. I'm not making that up. 1324.
Holy cats.
Louis I, the King of Hungary, 1342, was born on your birthday in 1326. There's a lot of them from the 16 and 1700s.
Amazing.
So well, it's like any other day. Let's get something a little more recent than the 1600s here. We'll even bypass the 1800s. Let's come up to something more recent than the 1800s. I don't know if I can. Oh, wait a minute. How about that? I'm sure there's more. No. Let's see. No, I'll find some. Oh, 1907 on your birthday, Carol Rosenblum. Now, why do you know Carol Rosenblum? Well, Carol Rosenblum owned NFL teams, like the Rams, and he died.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife, Georgia, inherited the team.
I remember that.
Right. Anybody in California knows Georgia?
That.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but other than that, let's see who else you might know with names I can maybe pronounce, because there are
a
number.
I know football people quite well. Yeah, and I remember Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And that sportscaster, whose name is escaping me. Yeah. Right. So now.
Yeah. And the coach that you interviewed was the coach in the Rams.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. snoring. Yes. Absolutely. 1929. J.B. Lenore, blues guitarist and songwriter, born in Monticello, Mississippi. Let's see who
I've
else.
I've heard him mention.
Yeah, right. So you see, there's more. Let's see who else. I mentioned Tommy Tucker to you, so there's other though.
Yeah.
A basketball coach. I don't know him, but Billy Tubbs. He was born in St. Louis.
No, I don't know him either.
Yeah, right. Let's see. And we don't care about Australian astronauts or tennis players or whatever. And the first president of Zimbabwe? That was Canon Manana. I am not making this up. His name is Canon Manana. And he was born in southern Rhodesia, but he was the first president of Zimbabwe from 1980 to 87. We have golfers.
Well,
I don't care about golfers. Dean Stockwell, he was an actor. Let's see, who else do we have that might be reasonably familiar? We don't care about biologists. Oh, Paul Evans! Why didn't I know that? Paul Evans! You remember Paul Evans?
Wow.
Yes, don't you remember?
Yes,
Seven little girls sitting in the backseat, kissing and hugging with Fred.
Oh, him too.
That's
too.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. And happy go lucky me, and yes, yes.
I like that one. That was probably the best one he ever did.
All right, so let's see. Samantha Eggar, she's an English actress. Okay, let's see who else. We don't care about rugby players. Let's see. We don't care about any of this, actually. I'm an American science fiction author. Never heard of him, but Mike Resnick. Born in Chicago.
No, I never.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Wow.
All right. Well, Mike.
Yeah, really. Yeah. I never heard of him either.
I haven't either, but yes, he would be 83 today. All right. Let's see who else we have.
Well, God bless him. He's 2 years older than I am.
Oh, Murray Head. Murray Head was born in 1946. Remember Murray Head?
I think so.
Yes. Here's what you remember him from.
Clear.
One Night in Bangkok. Yeah, One Night in Bangkok. It was from a play, Chess. But One Night in Bangkok was a great record. Let me see what happened. I thought. I always liked it. Let's see. Here we go on RCA. All right. So here we go with Murray Head. Thing he ever did, but I know of. But I thought it was great. Somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, and you might get to hear it sooner or later too. Here. Oh, God, it's the long version. God help me. No, not the long version. Let's see. Maybe I can find it. Come on, Murray. He'll be moving into it in a moment, I'm sure.
You love it with the long introduction.
Oh, I know, I know.
5 minutes.
Well, exactly. And on this program, I can't fast forward them. which is the worst part. But yeah, here it comes. No, wait, I've got to pull this from another source because that's too long, but I do want you to hear it. But 1952, Alan Clark. And you're saying, who is that? Well, he was a keyboardist. He was in Dire Straits, Money for Nothing, and the Chicks for Free.
I know who they are.
Yeah, right. And he also was a keyboardist for Tina Turner and Eric Clapton. He produced stuff and all that. So Russ Feingold, he was a politician. I guess. No, he died. He was a guy. Yeah, that's why I knew the name. From Wisconsin, he's dead since 2011. All right, let's see.
I heard that name.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. Right. So other people I've never heard of. I told you about Tina Marie, Marky Smith. That was a British guy who. Oh, another politician, Tim Holden, was a representative from Pennsylvania. So what else do we have? We're now getting into children. All right. So as far as I'm concerned, yeah, these young people. Let's see. People born in the 70s. So, yeah, major league outfielders. Well, who knows? All right. I think that might be it. Now, what I'm wondering, I mentioned that the politician was dead, but he might not be dead. It might have been that he was out of office since 2011. He might not have left us. So apologies. Yeah. Apologies to his family if he's still with us.
I remember the name Russ Feingold because
right.
I think... I'm from Wisconsin, and I think he was in evidence when I was living there, but I'm not sure.
He was a senator from 93. Yeah, senator from 93 to 2011. No, he's only 72 years old. No. He's still alive. I'm sorry, Russ. He's very much alive.
Oh, and very good.
He was the nominee in 2016 for a Senate seat that he previously occupied, but apparently didn't get it. All right, so let's see what Russ is doing today. Will they tell me? I don't know. All right. So we have these elections. Well, he didn't win them. Let's get to... that's interesting. Well, no, they've got to say what he's doing now. All right. Wall Street reform. Okay, that's later. All right. Hang on. I'll figure out about Russ during the news. Don't go away. All right. On WGN Radio. There's the 45 version of Murray Head's One Night in Bangkok, which was written by a couple members of ABBA, believe it or not. And we're back to Karen. All right. Still with us?
Yeah, I am.
All right. All right. So, Russ, after being out of politics, he was a visiting law professor at Marquette, and then he wrote a book, While America Sleeps, and busy supporting other politicians. He formed a Progressives United Political Action Committee, and then what else? Did all sorts of other Democratic-type things, and became a member of the Reformers Caucus of Issue 1, and now is president of the American Constitution Society. So he's very much alive. All right, Russ.
Hello. Oh,
all right. Happy birthday. All right. You share a birthday
with him. Well, thank you. I had a request.
Okay.
Call Somebody, Please.
Oh, absolutely, the Manhattans. I'll play it for you.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Now, by the way, I just looked up good old Russ, and on Wikipedia, that venerable institution, that says he's born on March 2nd. So we have conflicting birth dates for Russ, so you might not share a birthday with him.
Oh, well, that's okay. He yes. did a good job anyhow.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
All right. Good deal. Talk to you soon. All right. So so there it is. So, yes, and there's Murray. It's funny because that One Night in Bangkok single at the top of it, it said Chess. And I remember when I first saw it, I thought, oh, it's on Chess. Not a chance. It's on RCA. All right. So, well, it was 1985. So what do you expect? Now, we'll get to Johnny D after the news and Neanderthals. Room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitarandella. When the stars make you drool, just like a pastifazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a clod at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's Dean Martin, and that's Amore, 1953 on Capitol, and that was for Ruth. It was it had to do with the song she had thought of, but couldn't think the name of it, and then several of you called in and said, that's the name of it, and I said, well, there you go. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh, and we have Mark and Aurora. How's it going, Mark?
I'm pretty calm and peaceful this morning. Say, I have a request with this comment. I'd like you to play Jesus Christ Superstar by Murray Head, who is the ghost of Judas at that point.
I'm aware of it. I won't be doing it. I'm aware of it, but no.
Oh, well, he did that in 1970 on the original recording of Superstar, and then
true.
It charted in 1971.
Yeah.
And
all true.
His English was a little more, his accent was a little more English back then, whereas in 1985 it's a little more Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
And his voice has changed in very subtle ways, was timbrally, but he's still the same guy, and had that longevity up until 1985 in Chess, but I don't even know if the guy is still alive anymore, but he's I like him better as Judas than I do the guy from the movie, just as I like Ian Gillan better than Ted Neely. Now that may just be because that was the first recording I ever heard, but
as far as I know, he, by the way, is still alive, and he's probably he's in fact today was his birthday, so I think he'd be 79 today.
But you don't like Superstar, huh?
That's true, I don't. But that's okay.
Well, that's your loss.
Well, absolutely. And the nice thing about it is it's all over the internet, and you can hear it as often as you want.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
Absolutely.
But that's the other. But that is the other big thing that Murray Head did.
Yes. No, I'm aware of it, believe me. But I just happen to like One
you
Night
just
in Bangkok.
Not to mention.
The rest,
I love that song.
The rest of that concept album, I don't want to hear. But I like
now,
the 45 of that.
Now, the thing is that in One Night in Bangkok, Murray Head doesn't sing. He only speaks.
Yes, I know. Obviously.
But in Superstar, you get to hear his singing voice.
Uh-huh. All right, then.
All righty.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Have a good night.
All right, you too. Yes, so indeed. And he's done a lot more. So if you're interested, you can find it for yourself. And it's all over the internet, trust me. Johnny D. in Ohio, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh. I guess I'll say thank you.
So let's talk about these Neanderthals.
We are going to talk about the Neanderthals.
So go right ahead.
I will. But it was Don from Beloit that, you know, called and started kicked this off for me. I was going to give calling you up for Lent because I don't like being blocked on emails. Well, you know, I think that's
okay. So, and you're not alone, believe me. I get far too much. I just can't answer it. My favorite are when people want to have a conversation on emails. I just can't do it. That's what the radio show is for. 3 hours a night, 4 nights a week live, and I hope you'll use it. So there's no reason to use email. You can call and tell me anything you want.
Yes, there is.
Okay. Are we going
to
talk about
pictures of my...
Well, that's very nice.
I'm not going to talk about you. Listen,
thank you.
Give me a second here, lady, ma'am. Before I get into the Neanderthals, which I'm going to do, I'd like to do a song request.
Okay.
A couple of them. Okay. Okay. Well, the first one kind of ties into the email situation, and I'm thinking,
what's the request?
It's this. All or nothing at all. Sinatra. All or nothing at all.
Okay.
I got E.
All or nothing at all. Sinatra. Okay.
Yeah. And then that ties into the email. I was going to do all of me. Why not? But I like all or nothing at all better.
Okay. All
right. Then Dean Martin, I just like this song, it's Sway. You played Dean Martin's...
That's Amore.
When the Moon Hit Your Eye.
Yeah, That's Amore.
Huh?
That's Amore.
That's Amore, yeah. That was in Moonstruck, the movie Moonstruck. Yeah, it was in
that
it.
That was considerably later, yes.
Considerably what?
Considerably later. That's Amore was recorded in 1953.
What do you mean, laser? What's that mean?
No. Moonstruck, and what was in Moonstruck, was decades after the record had been a hit on Capitol in 1953.
53?
Yes.
Damn. Okay, I didn't know that. But I know it was the theme song, or was the song in Moonstruck. All right, you were saying you had some kind of ear issue going on, inner ear issue.
I have some blockage, and it's been interesting. I'll tell you what, decongestants don't work, and plus they make you crazy. So we'll try Plan B, steroids. We're now our next. Yeah, they do. Our next.
I take something right here. I took something like that.
All right. Well, whatever.
Drug Mart.
You're probably talking about Allegra D. There's many, many different kinds.
Yeah.
But right. It doesn't work for me.
I think it.
That's good. Glad it works for you.
Excuse me. So, all right, Raleigh. The inner ear bone of a Neanderthal,
yes,
is different than it is in you.
I would hope so.
Homo sapiens.
Yeah,
it is. That's how they, that's one of the telltale things that they could tell about the end. Now, ancient DNA. Now, you say, how do they know that? They're getting it from fossils. That's all they're getting it from, right? Well, they ain't just getting it from that. They're getting it from fossils. My man, I think I told you about this fellow once, Svante Paabo, S-V-A-N-T-E, Svante, P-A-A-B-O, okay? The Swedish geneticist who won the Nobel laureate in physiology, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's the director and...
I know who he is, okay.
You know who he is?
What
did he do? He sequenced the entire genome of Neanderthals, and he could use them geneticists, all right? that take that DNA and they're able to tell, you know, the relation, like, you know, how the genetics went down.
They think.
You know what I'm saying?
They think.
What do you mean they think? It's science.
Yes. The last person who said that was a real moron, but we're not going there on this show. But all right, so
what are you talking about that? What's the so, thing?
We're not talking about anybody. But anyway, yes. Yeah, so aware of it. I just have a problem with finger bones. You know, being the source of this.
They got the ancient DNA, right. Raleigh.
Like I say, and that's
they got
great.
The DNA.
That's great. All right. Well, aware, and we'll you know, maybe when I'm on the other side, I'll know for
what
sure.
What happens in? As far as what happened to him, yeah, climate change was involved, okay? Climate change, the megafauna, which is them big elephants and woolly mammoths that they used to kill, they eat, they hunted, right? When the climate changed, they scooted out of their areas. You know what I'm saying? They went to different, and it was hard. Not only that, them Homo sapiens came up, in there and was competing against them. And they had been in Europe for like 300,000 years. They ruled Europe, the Neanderthals, right? Before the Homo sapiens came up in there, you know, us, supposedly, out of Africa, okay, with superior weapons, and they were better hunters than the Neanderthals, right? And then disease was part of it, too, because these Homo sapiens brought all these germs and stuff with them, you know, pathogens or whatever. And these Neanderthals had no immunity to this crap. You know what I mean? And so they were living in smaller groups. The Homo sapiens communicated better. They had language. More sophisticated language, and they had more, they lived in bigger groups, and they communicated better, and the Neanderthals lived in smaller groups, and, you know, they had, you know, they didn't have access to as many women, so they just died out, and then some of them interbred, okay, and that's why that shows up in, I bet if you would take a DNA test, you would have a certain percentage, being from Europe, huh?
Just go right on.
Being a European. And the Asians have more Denisovan DNA. If you go to Philippines or places like that, them people have a lot of DNA of the Denisovan, right?
All right.
And if you would check the DNA of an Australian Aborigines, you know, Aborigines peoples, they got a high percentage of Denisovan DNA. All hey, right. Wally, it's genetics.
All right.
It isn't a guess.
All right. That's your story, and you're sticking with it. Always good to hear from
you. Yeah, that's my story. I'm sticking with it.
All right.
And I'm so upset about being blocked that I wasn't going to call anymore.
Talk to you later.
Don from Beloit.
Yeah, okay. Huh? I say talk to you later. You don't keep playing that
broken
record.
You got my song request?
All right. So, I dot it. I'll look for it. And if I find it, I will play it. All right.
You don't
thanks.
Have all or nothing at all?
I may. I don't. You know, I'm in different studios on different days, and I don't remember what I put in these computers. All I know is John said, you know, those computers are now 15 years old. Have you thought about replacing them? I'm like, yeah, I guess I better. So I'll work on it. Okay, bye.
You got the money. Okay, bye.
Yes, not about money. It's about reprogramming all the way I want to and all that stuff. So anyway, yeah, when we, I prefer Mac on everything, let's face it. And so on my personal stuff and on the stuff I use on this show, it's all Mac. But on the stuff I have to interface with for automation programs on the radio stations, all that's all PC. And usually what we do is we just wait till we can buy a lot of like 36 of them. And yeah, and then I reprogram them all. And, you know, that's how we set them in. But I said to John, we will do that later this year, I promise. So sometime this fall. And he said, well, you better work on Macs first. Oh, brother. All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. Yes, a sobriety test. That's exactly what I need on WGN Radio.
All or nothing at all. Half a love never appealed to me. If your heart never could yield to me, then I'd rather have nothing at all. All or nothing at all. If it's love, there is no in between. Why begin and cry for something that might have been? No, I'd rather have nothing at all. Oh, please don't bring your lips so close to my cheek. Don't smile or I'll be lost beyond recall. The kiss in your eyes and the touch of your hand makes me weep, and my heart may grow dizzy and fall.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and I'm sure that Johnny D was probably thinking of the Don Costa version from 1962, but the first time Frank Sinatra sung it was in August of 1940 with the Harry James Orchestra. And actually, it was right after the first release that Jimmy Dorsey released, and then came Harry James with Frank Sinatra, and then on and on. There are over 350 versions of this song. Everybody and their brother, Joni James or Tommy Edwards or, Al Martino or Steve Lawrence. I mean, everybody's done it. But there was the original, All or Nothing at All, with Frank Sinatra, how he sounded when he was singing with big bands. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. Jim is in New Hampshire. What's up, Jim?
Hello, hello, Raleigh.
How are you?
How you doing?
Can't complain. How about yourself?
Doing fine. I tell you, that's really great Sinatra right there. I found a station over in Perth, West Australia, that plays a lot of standards like that.
Yeah.
Called Magic FM.
All right.
MagicFM.com.au.
Yes. Home of Perth's easy favorites.
You got it.
It's been around a while. That radio station's actually
really?
Been around. Yeah, I'd say going on 20 years.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Anyway, I they're kind of like my go-to at night sometimes, and I love the stuff that they play.
Yeah, the Diana Krall and all that. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, indeed. And I was thinking about shortwave radio earlier. And I tell you, I got into shortwave actually because I had a radio that was very, very, not very selective on AM.
Yeah.
And I kept, when I started hearing VOA or Radio Nederland, a few places on the AM dial, it kind of got me curious, don't you see?
All right, hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll leave you right there on the AM band, and we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
I've got a crush on you, sweetie pie. All the day and night time, hear me sigh. I never had the least notion that I could fall with so much emotion. Could you prove, could you care for a cunning cottage we could share? The world will pardon my mush, 'cause I've got a crush, my baby, on you. Could you coo? Could you care for a cunning cottage we could share? The world will pardon my mush, 'cause I've got a crush, my baby. I've got a crush on you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's a request from a while ago. I don't even know if she remembers she requested it. Now I got to find it. But, man, yeah, well, it was here moments ago, like everything else. And Dick Van Dyke, don't you know? And let's see, what did I do? Well, I'll find it here in a moment, but... She probably remembers it better than me, whoever it is. All right, Dick Van Dyke, let's find out. I can do this. All right. That was Sharon in Arkansas. All right, Sharon, I got a crush on you, Dick Van Dyke. There you go. 888-876-5593. And we're in the middle of talking to Jim from New Hampshire. We left him with his not very selective or maybe too selective AM radio, and you discover, gee, there could be shortwave in my future.
Yes, that's very true. I discovered that, and I was, you know, I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Right,
because,
right.
Then I thought, huh, the only thing I never exactly heard was the old Radio New York, WNYW.
Right.
I never heard them, and I always... heard that they were pretty good, and everything like that, and I have to agree with you about the technology. If they had all this stuff,
forget it. We would have been shut-ins. Absolutely complete shut-ins. Yes.
Yeah, just forget about it. Because, oh man.
Oh yeah, I know. On the one hand, I mourn that we didn't have it. On the other hand, it's probably really good that we didn't have it.
You know? It's probably very good that we didn't have it, believe me.
But it would have been so much cheaper if we did, because long about the time I was still very young, I discovered the listen lines that that groups had, so their national program directors could hear all their stations. Yeah,
and I could never find those.
Well. My problem was I accidentally dialed one, and it was, yeah, right. And I mean, I must have been 12, you know, I was very young, very young, and I accidentally dialed one, and I think it was WSPD in Toledo that answered the phone. I'm like, what? And so anyway, what I realized was even then I had like a broadcasting yearbook, because already they were only $4 or whatever then, or $3, very cheap.
Sure.
So I had them. Mm-hmm. So I look them up, you know, and they're in Toledo. Okay, well, fine. And then I see that it's owned by Storer. George B.
Well, the same people that had GBS.
Yes, but their national headquarters were at 1177 King Concourse, Bay Harbor Islands, Florida. I passed by it every day. So whoever I was calling, whatever other 12-year-old or whatever I was calling, would have been in the 865, you know, Union 5 phone exchange, because back then it was Union. Uh-huh. So Union 5.
Sure.
So I realized,
sure,
well, I got to figure this out. And I mean, you can't, yeah, you cannot not imagine how many people I called with wrong numbers, but I got it again. And at that point, oh man, I realized, I looked and it's the Store Broadcasting, and they were like a group right there. They had WGBS and they had other things. And well, they must have listen lines for all of them. And that's how it started. Yeah. Well, it wasn't long before, you know, I had amassed, and this is fairly early on, because, you know, there weren't many top 40 chains, but thanks to the Broadcasting Yearbook, it's like I got to find Balaban and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Sure.
But
sure.
So yeah. it would have saved me, or my mother, a lot of money. So, yeah. But, yeah, I just, the listen lines were just a dream.
So, yes. And I actually tried to find one for KAA White.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. KAA. Yes, I believe that was Lynn at the time. Yes.
Yes, they were.
Yes, were. Exactly.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, because one of the guys that was over there, he later wound up at CFL, was Buddy Carr.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
You know, when I heard one of those jingles one day, I thought, oh man, wow, same dude, you know.
Yeah, right. Absolutely, with jingles and everything. You betcha.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I love that stuff, you know, especially I'm a big fan of the Son of Ox.
Oh, you're the one. Okay.
Yes, I'm guilty. Guilty, am I?
Yeah, I know. And by the way, what was the name of it? Do you remember?
Doggone. No.
Well, the first one to use it was Series 18. It was also used in Series 22 and 26. But when Series 18 came out, it was Sonosational.
Okay.
Sonosational.
Yeah.
So that's 1961. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yes. And I'll tell you, you know who had some of those was WLCS 91 in Baton Rouge. Oh. They had a bunch of those.
Sure.
Yeah.
But those series were so cheap that every station, I mean, that's what made it work, of course. You know, so many people had those series. I shouldn't say people, but stations, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I was not an LCS guy. I was a 1260 WAIL kind of guy. Well,
I think, I think Series 18 was sold to over 400 radio stations.
Oh, man.
And what's interesting is a lot of people think it was created for WABC, and it wasn't. It was created for KFWB. And it's interesting because they had always used the Sandy Green jingles before that, but yes, Series 18 sold literally to half of the country. So
now there's a program called All Things Radio on Saturdays that comes on Thursday evenings, and they repeat them. You know, it's a podcast thingy.
Yes, absolutely. It's Bill Sparks, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, indeed. Uh-huh. And they played a air check of KRLA.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that was there was their news. Thing. It sounded so much like the Drake Bloor CFL sounding jingles, kind of, especially that news thing when they go to, you know, Radio Los Angeles, you know.
Right. Absolutely.
And I just, oh, I just got a kick out of hearing that, you know, because,
I'll tell you, in the mid-60s, Carole did use Chuck Bohr jingles.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Absolutely
sure.
did. And, you know, they used a lot of Pam stuff before and after, but they did. And I think that those Chuck Bohr jingles are online. You can probably find that.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. Because, oh, boy, I loved the stuff they did for the Voice of Labor.
Those CFL jingles, those are my all-time favorite jingles, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What
kind of jingle package has a jingle for St. Swithin's Day? You got to love that.
You got to really dig that, I'm telling
you. Yeah, may your donkeys
really
always bray. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. No, those CFL jingles were just magnificent. They were.
Oh,
but you know what's so funny is I loved them, and you did too, and especially the long ones. And I have all of those. I even used to put them on 8-tracks in the car so I could listen to them. But it was so funny because a good friend of mine was John Rook, and later he actually consulted CFL. But I remember when he was in Pittsburgh going to go to LS, this was about the time they were using that package. And I remember saying, my favorite jingles. And he chuckled, said, yeah, mine too. And because he knew that competitively that wasn't the way to go. But I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he just was they're absolutely my favorite. Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Boy, I mean.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, just incredible.
Yeah, I thought they were. Yeah, absolutely. I loved them, you know.
Yeah,
but if their programming core was Radio Freaks, then they would have been number one, but it wasn't.
That's true. And gosh, I sure do miss Barney Pip.
I do too.
Oh my
yeah.
word.
I was going through stuff and I found a letter he wrote me probably right before he died in the 90s that he hand wrote because he had gotten married and he was in Indianapolis and, you know, he suffered from a lot of mental health things over the year. And I was so thrilled he'd gotten married and life was turning around and then next thing I know, he sadly is no longer with us in a freak accident. But what a nice guy. And, you know, I mean, a troubled soul, no doubt about it, but I really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
He died in 94 while I was on the air at in San Diego at 760, whatever, KFMB, that's what it was.
KFMB?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
76.
Exactly. So I think he died like in February of 94. So probably around Christmas time, 93, he'd written me this letter and, just a heartbreak.
Wow. Yes, indeed. And because I ran into an air check of his on Real Radio when he was at 99XLO.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, wow, this is cool, you know, because this is neat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he worked at a lot of places, to say the least, including did country music on WWOK.
Oh, my. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. I think it was the guy who had, he drank. The guy who had, this is a terrible thing to say, but true. The guy who had programmed KFWB, Bill Wheatley. Bill Wheatley hired him.
Okay.
Yeah, at WWOK. And he wasn't there that long, but he was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember that well.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. But,
no, it's very, very sad.
Oh.
And
it is.
But yeah.
You were saying something one time, and I never got a chance to ask you about this, about the Wolfman Jacks. There's a thing called Talent Farm.
By the way, you can hear Wolfman Jack on WGN on the weekends.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting, and I'm gonna because he comes on right after Steve and Johnny. Yes.
Right. Saturday night, Sunday morning, 2 to 5 a.m.
Yes, indeed.
So that is absolutely absolutely syndicated, and I think it's just Wolfman Jack Radio. That's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there are, you know, because he was doing it syndicated for a while. And so, you know, that's the deal. And I think that it's like 5 hours a week, you know, 5 hours a night once a week. It's, you know, that's the deal. And obviously they put it together since then. So yeah, they're actively selling it. And I think it's out of Seattle where they're selling it, but I don't know. But yeah, okay, you can easily go online and find out all of that.
Yeah, because the reason I mentioned it was about they were trying to bring back the Mighty 1090 out in SoCal, I think, or were
right.
they?
Well, yeah, absolutely. No, he's on that. Absolutely. 1090 Express, AKSA, you know, all that. Right, they are carrying that, but apparently a lot of stations are. I don't know. So I just looked it up, and yeah, the Gallon affiliate relation. She is in Seattle, but the address for the station for the syndication is Sunset Boulevard, you know, LACA. So it's 9200. So it's on the Strip.
I see.
Yeah, a guy named Jay Harvey Wolfman Jack Licensing. I don't know who he is, but I'm sure the people at GN know who he is because I'm sure they license it.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
And I'm sure that it. I'm pretty sure that it's barter, because when I looked at that thing, it said something like each hour has 48 minutes of show content. But well, 12 minutes they might be blank commercial spots. I don't know. But certainly you can hear it. So I'm looking this up to see the executive producer.
But they were talking
Jamie.
About streaming.
Yeah. Well, that
hasn't found.
I don't. If they're charging for it, and I don't know that they are, but if they're charging for it, then I would think that it's not going to be streamed, because who in their right mind would pay for it if it was going to be streamed? I'm looking at the stations, and I'm seeing a lot of them, and I'm looking to see, do I see anything near you? No. I see a few in North Carolina, which makes sense, and Santa Rosa, California, and West Warwick, and Lenington, Kentucky. Do they mean that? Lenington? I don't know. WEKY. Ooh. Montpelier, Vermont. That's as close as we get to you. WCNS.
CNS.
I will
look into that and see if I can...
But there's an Orlando station. That's interesting. I on this little list, I don't see. Let's see. The classic rock show. They've got a couple different shows. How about that? But I do not see on them. I don't see WGN. So I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
Apparently,
obviously they've gone ahead and done it into a couple of formats. So what I assume is going on is, you know, they obviously digitally mix the music in with all his bits type thing, not necessarily what he would have played. But yes, all shows are produced and licensed as a 5-hour fun party, and each license grants the rights to broadcast all weekly shows twice during the calendar week. All right. The original show contains Wolfman's hilarious comedy bits, funny phone calls, crazy characters, celebrity interviews, and great music. All right. As there's a classic hits version and a classic rock version. I have a feeling that, you know, like I say, that the music is probably added later. But, hey, maybe one of these days I will actually listen on the weekend to WGN and hear it. I will do that.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I have one request.
Okay.
That,
what you want?
Could you play the Wheels by the String Along?
Oh, absolutely. I'll be happy to play that.
Oh, cool.
All right. Good deal. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
Alrighty.
Okay, thanks. All right, so why not? And we got James on the South Side who will be closing it out tonight. And remember, tomorrow night we've got a big 3 hours as well. So hopefully you'll call. But in the meantime, we'll get Wheels on right after this. We'll be right back. James, and those are the Stringalongs, Plainview, Texas's own. And if you look at various articles online, they'll tell you that Norman Petty wrote it. Okay. Yeah, he certainly did produce it. Typical Norman Petty. But actually, Richard Stevens and Jimmy Torres, the guitarist, in the, well, I think they all played guitar, but rhythm guitar and lead guitar was Jimmy Torres. I think they wrote it. And on the original Warwick 45, it says that. But in, that was Morty Craft's label, one of them. It lasted about a minute. I would assume when royalties went around, the string-alongs probably weren't in the room. But anyway, and who knows, maybe somehow Norman Petty did write it, and all right. I'm dreaming once again. All right, and I have, oh, this is terrible. I've got a minute left, and poor James has been hanging on for half of his natural life. So, well, what am I saying? I'm paying for the call. All right, so I will say, James, please call me back tomorrow night. It's sort of like that, and we'll go over many of his stories and many of the other things that I didn't get to tonight. Like I think most of them, we had more stories of the weird, don't you know? So let's see. Actually, I've got about 30 seconds. I can say to James, James, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. In 30 seconds, sum up your favorite story in this group.
Okay. I will. Since Lenten season has started, I noticed the vast amounts of recalls of tuna.
Yeah. Okay.
And combined with the eggs thing. Okay. The problem with eggs. Well, it's going to be kind of hard to do one of Lent's our favorite sandwiches, tuna fish.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. Thanks.
Okay, so, you take...
There you have it, 888-876-5593. We told you about Nantra Null at the beginning of the show. Tomorrow night, hopefully I'll remember, we can start the show with poor Jason Kilburn and his daughter in Omaha. Yes, names are us. All right, all that and more coming up. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. It makes the show a pleasure to do. So do it again tomorrow night, 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.